tend to forget that sometimes, that everything that we can do where we have freedom to do it, somebody paid a price for that. And, even to be honest with you, our policemen, our firemen, and all the people like that, they put their lives on the line for us every day, And it never hurts to be thankful and even say a little prayer for sometimes for the policemen or the firemen, because they're out there every day. And our servicemen that are over in other countries, trying to take care of these terrorists and all this things, stuff that goes on. And we need to be in prayer for all of our political leaders, God knows they need it. And I don't mean to laugh when I say that, but God knows they do need it, and we all do. Praise the Lord. Today I'm going to speak to you, and the title to my sermon is Be Ye, or Be You. Okay. And last week Sister Karen was here, and I appreciated the things that she said. I appreciated the ministry. It was a really nice, strong move of the Holy Spirit here, And I appreciated that young man coming up and giving his testimony, And, you can't be anybody but you, You can only be you. You can't be somebody else. Years ago, I can remember being in an elders meeting when Brother Eddie was still with us, And he's with us now in the spirit, but he's just not in the flesh. And I can remember being in an elders meeting, and I can remember one of the old elders years and years ago, this is a long time ago, making a statement to Brother Eddie about him casting a big shadow. And you can't walk in somebody else's shadow. You got to walk in the light that God gives you. And I learned a long time ago, I can't be Brother Eddie. You can't be Brother Oscar. I can't be Brother Clyde, Just be who you are. Do what God has you do. And I'm going to tell you what, if you'll do that, then you'll be surprised what God will do, I'm going to start off, and I'm going to read you this little legend. And I believe it's probably a true legend, but I'm going to read it to you. And the name of the legend is called The Power of Being. And before I get into it, I'm going to pause for a word of prayer. Father, just have your way here today. Thank you for what you're going to do. We give you all praise and all glory. And Father, help us get comfortable in who and what we are right now, knowing that you're the master potter and that you can form us and fashion us however you want, and that you know when to add a little water and you know when to burn a little water out. And just thank you, Father, that you're in control. And even as Cynthia was singing the songs about and mentioning the sovereignty of God, Lord, you are sovereign. You are sovereign. You are in control. We acknowledge your control. We thank you. We praise you. And we give you all glory for everything that happens here today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This little story is called The Power of Being. And I believe this would be true. And it could be true of every one of you all out there. It says, legend has it that a missionary lost at sea was by chance washed up out of the sea on the edge of a remote native village. Half dead from starvation, exposure, and seawater, he was found by people of the village, and he was nursed back to full health. Subsequently, he lived among these people for 20 years. During the whole time that he lived there, he confessed no faith. That's pretty unusual for a missionary. He confessed no faith. And it says here that he uttered no songs. He preached no sermons. He neither read nor recited any scripture. He made no personal faith claim. That's very, very unusual. But when people were sick, he attended them, sitting long into the night. When people were hungry, he gave them food. When people were lonely, he was a source of company. He taught the ignorant. He was a source of enlightenment to those who were more knowledge, who were more knowledgeable. He always took the side of those that had been wrong. There was not a single human condition in which he did not identify. After 20 years had passed, missionaries came from the sea to the village and began talking to the people about a man called Jesus. And after hearing of Jesus, the natives insisted that he lives among us. Wow, think about that. He lives among us. For them past 20 years, they told him. Come, we will introduce you to the man whom you've been speaking about. The missionaries were led to a hut, and they found there their long-lost missionary, whom they had thought was dead. And you know, if I could say anything to you today, be who and what God has called you to be. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a prophet. Not everybody's called to do a lot of different things. And a lot of times we say, oh, God, but if I could only do this, you know, I could fulfill your will. You can fulfill his will wherever he has you. Just be who God called you to be. And I'm going to tell you, this man, he didn't preach any sermons. He didn't teach them any spiritual songs. He didn't do anything. But he was there for them all the time. You know, Jesus told him, he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and you visited me. And they said, well, Lord, when did we do that? Insomuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And I'm going to tell you, you and I've been trying to emphasize this, you all have a ministry. You all are ministers of God. I don't care where you live, what part of town you're from, what kind of job you have. You're all ministers of God. And if you'll just be there for people when they need you, or if you'll just say an encouraging word or whatever. You know, Lonnie gave a testimony this morning back in Sunday school, and he said that, you know, he works for Sam's, and he said that this woman came over to him, and, you know, I'd have him do it, but I think Lonnie fell asleep. But anyway, this woman came over to him, and she said, she asked him to remember her in prayer. And he said she started telling him about her life, you know, and then she had a son that was mentally ill and a lot of different things, and she started telling him all this different stuff. And he told her, you know, she asked him where he went to church, and he told her, I'm telling the story a little bit wrong. First, they asked him where he was going, and he said he was going to church. And then the woman started telling him all this stuff. And then after she told him the story about her life, basically, she told him, she says, remember me in prayer, or pray for me. Well, he asked prayer for her back in Sunday school, and we said a prayer for her, you know. But, you know, he said afterwards, she come over and asked him, can I hug you? You know, and when Lonnie came into Sunday school back there this morning, he hadn't been here for a few weeks because he'd been working. Well, all the ladies were over there hugging him. And I told him, I said, we're going to have to change your name to Huggable Lonnie. But you know what? To be honest with you, when we show the love of God to people, they're going to be drawn to us. I mean, I'm going to tell you, have you ever noticed that if you're out, that sometimes it just seems like people are looking at you? Have you ever noticed that at being a Christian? They're looking at you. And you don't even know why they're looking at you. They don't know why they're looking at you. But I'm going to tell you what. I think a lot of times as we go on with the Lord, they're going to start feeling his presence in your life stronger and stronger and stronger, especially as their needs get greater and greater. And they're going to start coming, being drawn to you. And I'm going to tell you what. Everywhere you go, you are a memorial to Jesus Christ. You are a memorial. You're like, you know, in the Old Testament, every time that something happened, what they would do, they would pile up stones. And they would leave them there as a memorial. And that was so that when people saw them stones, they could remember what took place there. Jacob one time, after he had left his father's house, he got tired and he took some stones and piled them up a little bit to make himself a pillow. That's sounds like a pretty uncomfortable pillow to me, but I guess you do with what you got. And he laid down on those stones. And God sent a visitation to him with his head laying on those stones. And what he sent was he sent a vision of angels ascending and descending upon a ladder. You know, and God spoke to him and basically told him that if he would follow him, he would take care of him and all of his needs would be met, you know. And the next morning after Jacob woke up, he took oil and poured it upon those stones to anoint those stones. And he left those stones there for a witness. And I'm going to tell you what, there was other portions of Scripture where they piled up stones. They piled up stones before they crossed the Jordan. They piled up stones after they crossed the Jordan. They piled up 12 stones. And those 12 stones were there for a memorial, and they say they're still there today. Now, I don't know. I haven't been over there, so I haven't seen them. But they say it says that they're still there. And you know what? Those 12 stones were piled up for a memorial as to what God had done. God had pardoned the Jordan, and they had walked over on dry ground as the priest stepped down into the brink of the water. And you know, I just want you to know, Scripture tells us that we're lively stones, that we're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And I want you to know, everywhere you go, you're a memorial to God. His presence should be felt in your life everywhere you go. And don't be surprised if more and more and more people don't start coming over to you and start telling you their life stories. Because they're going to feel that presence, and they're not even going to know why they're telling you that stuff. But they're going to start doing it more and more as that Spirit of God begins to emanate out of you. And I'm going to tell you, I honestly believe, just like the sister was saying last week, and I believe it's not only was she saying it, but I believe we've all been feeling it lately, God's going to start doing some miraculous things in our midst. I believe the day of Him moving and flowing in miracles is going to begin to happen again. But it's going to begin to happen with a more mature people than it happened in the past. Because in the past, a lot of times, people were after the fishes and loaves, you know. And people would come from miles and miles because they heard some miraculous thing was happening. And a lot of times, then they'd go away and go back into the same things they were into before. But I got news for you. God's going to begin to move in such a way where people's lives are going to be changed. And we have tremendous teaching ministries here. We have a lot of good teaching ministries. We have a lot of good people who, if God was to open up opportunities for people even to go out into people's houses and have meetings or whatever, they could do that, and they could begin to open up the Word of God to them and to teach them and stuff. And I'm going to tell you, don't be surprised if God starts doing some mighty things. I know looking around, and I'm going to tell you this, I know from experience a lot of times when God gives you a word and you look with the natural eyes, it will look just the opposite of what you're saying. And if you look with the natural eyes, you'll say, oh, who's he kidding? This place is more than half empty today, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, I know from experience, I know God gave me a word, and I've shared this testimony before. God gave me a word years ago one time about that He was going to bless me and Margaret, you know, and we were living in a house that we were renting, and you know, the landlord, the man that owned the house, died, and his wife called, and we had told her if they ever wanted to sell that house that we would be willing to buy it, you know. Well, they called and said that he had passed away, and that you know, would we be interested in buying this house? Well, we'd lived there for 5 years, and I didn't have no money to buy that house. I mean, I had a couple hundred dollars in the bank. But you know what started happening? And the interest rates were about 15%, and they kept going up and up and up. And what happened was that all of a sudden people started, and somebody gave me a prophetic word and said, God's going to bless you guys. God's going to bless you guys. And this was a lot of years ago. Our kids were just little kids, you know, and they were in grade school. And, you know, when that happened, then all of a sudden I had people start calling me wanting to borrow money. And, I mean, I'm wanting to get money together to buy this house because we live in it. And otherwise, we're going to have to move. And I had people calling me wanting to borrow money. And the first person wanted to borrow $200. I had about $200 in the bank. And I said, well, let me go and pray about it. And I went and I prayed about it, and I felt like the Lord said, give it to him. And I gave it to him. Then I got together where I had about $400 in the bank a couple months later. Somebody called me up and wanted to borrow $400. And I'm thinking, man, this is going the wrong way. And I went and I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And he said, give it to him. And I thought, okay. I think Margaret kind of questioned it when I told her, I think we're supposed to give it to him. You sure you heard from the Lord? I think she said. I said, well, I think we're supposed to. Well, anyway, we was going backwards. Well, I'm not going to tell you the whole story because I could drag it out and tell you the whole thing. But I'm going to tell you, everything was going in the wrong direction. And then I couldn't save money at that time or anything like that. And the interest rates were climbing. They weren't going down. They were climbing. And the interest rates got up to about 17%. This was back during the real early 70s, you know, back in the 70s when inflation was running at a tremendous amount. And, you know, what ended up happening is that all of a sudden I got the ability to save money. And I had a motorcycle and I sold it, and I'd had it for 5 years. I got the same money almost that I paid for it 5 years later. And that don't happen either. But, you know, it happened. And then all of a sudden I had somebody call me up and wanted to give me $1,800. And somebody else called me up and wanted to loan me $5,000 for 5 years interest free. And my first inclination was to say no. I didn't say no, but I thought about it for a minute. And then the more I thought about it, I said, well, let me get back with you. And I thought, well, I couldn't get that from a bank. 5 years, interest free, pay it back any way I wanted to in the 5 year span. So I took it. Well, I went from having $200 to nothing to $400 to nothing. And when I got ready to close, I had $10,000. And this was about 6 months later. I had about $10,000. And the interest rates went up to 17.75%, and they came back down to 12%. And I could afford 12%. It was still a stretch, but I could afford 12%. After I closed, a week or two later, the interest rates started back up. They went back up. Now, you know, you say, well, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you, anytime God gives you a word, don't expect it to always happen instantly. Expect it to look exactly like it's never going to happen, like it's impossible for it to happen, like it couldn't happen no matter what, because you know what? He's a God of the impossible. He's a God of more than enough. He's a God of way beyond our expectations. You know, a few weeks ago when Bob called me on the phone, and he told me, he says, Oscar, he said, I have a tumor on my heart. And he said, I'd like to have prayer Sunday at church. And I told him, I said, okay, we'll pray for you. And we called him up that Sunday and we prayed for him. Well, then he called me up later on after he went to the doctor. You heard his testimony, and I knew it a week or so before he shared his testimony because he didn't come the next week. But I didn't want to tell you guys because I didn't want to spoil his testimony. But he called me up, and he said, the doctor, you know, did echocardiogram or whatever it was again, and the tumor was gone. And he said he couldn't believe it was gone. They looked at both echocardiograms, and he could see it on one, and it was gone on the other. Well, you know what? That's the way the Lord is. That's the way I'm going to tell you what, folks. A lot of times we don't receive things for God because we don't believe we're going to get them. You know, we don't ask. We think, well, bless God, I got cancer and there's no cure for cancer. There's a definite cure for cancer, and the name is Jesus. There's a definite cure for anything that's ailing you. The name is Jesus. There's a definite cure for any financial need that you have. And that's not that God's going to give you all. He's not some sugar daddy waiting to give you things. But he'll give you what you need. He's promised to supply your needs. And I'm going to tell you what. So many times, I used to see it with my mother a lot of times. My dad died when I was 4 years old. I was the youngest of four kids. The oldest one was 10. I had two sisters and a brother, and they were all older than me. My dad died when I was four. Mother, back in the late 40s, early 50s, you know, women didn't make much money. People think women are discriminated against now. Go back then and see what they were paid. They were paid nothing. Well, mother had graduated from high school, which was kind of rare because, you know, she was born in the 20s. Not everybody graduated back then or even went to high school. You know, she graduated from high school, but she got a job in a factory because she could make a little bit more money than she could doing something else. And, you know, I can remember her, imagine being left with four kids, and we lived in apartments and all that stuff. But I can remember after she got saved not long after my father died. And I can remember seeing her sit at the table, and she would lay the bills up there, and she would pray and say, God, I don't know how to do this. You got to show me, you know. And I'm telling you, God met her every time. My mother had an excellent credit rating. You know, she'd say, it would be all like all of a sudden I'd know to do this and to do that and do that, you know, and said it would just be like he would just lay it out how I should do it, you know. And, I mean, you know, imagine trying to keep four kids in shoes and clothes and all that back in the day when, and I started going with Margaret. It was kind of funny because she thought I had money, and her dad made twice as much as my mom did, you know. But I mean, I had 50 cents for lunch. But I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of times my mom probably would have given us lunch money and done without herself, because that's the way she was. And, you know, it's one of those things where God is always going to meet you, and he'll use you to minister to other people if you'll just be obedient and quit telling yourself, well, you know, I've heard somebody say one time years ago, and it was one of the old saints, say, you know, I'm called to the missions. You know, I'm called to the missions. And I never knew of them ever doing anything missionary, you know? Well, maybe the call to the mission was to be a missionary to the person next door or to the person in the grocery store or whatever, you know? I mean, you know, it's not always what we think. Even if God lets us know a little bit about what our calling is, be what God has you be today. If he's got you working in an office, be that person in the office that is the first one to say, can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? Is there more I can do for you? Anything you need? Be nice to people. Treat them good. And I'm going to tell you what, God will use you more like that than he will. It's just like this little story I read you about the missionary. He didn't say anything about Jesus. He didn't tell him about Jesus. He didn't preach him any sermons. He didn't sing him any songs. He didn't do any of that. But yet when the other missionaries came and started telling these people about Jesus Christ, they said, oh, well, he's been here for 20 years. And I tell you what a testimony. What a testimony. And you know what? You can have that kind of testimony too. Be the best school teacher you can be. Be the person that goes the extra mile with the kids. Be the best mechanic you can be. Be the best factory worker you can be. Be the best neighbor you can be to the person next door, you know. I'm going to tell you what, Margaret was always the kind of person that, you know, she always took up with the old people on the street. You know, she'd always go do stuff for them and stuff, and she was always there. And, you know, I can remember old Ed Pohl that lived next door to us. He was pretty old, and we used to watch him go up the street because there was a hitching post on the corner where we used to live, and he'd go up there and get his dinner once a day and eat. I think he only ate once a day anyway. He was skinny as a rail. But she didn't see him come out of his house for a couple of days. So she got concerned about him. And she went over and pounded on the door, you know, and was hollering, "Ed, are you all right? Are you all right?" You know. And she, I don't know if she, I think she might have went around to the back door, and she kind of pounded on the door, and she heard him moaning. Well, he'd fell and broke his hip. Well, he would have died in there had she not took an interest. You know what I mean? And you know, God can use you in so many ways, and it's not always to preach. It's not always to teach. And I know we have tremendous abilities in this church for people to do that. But just be there for your friends. I love that Debbie brought her friend to church with her a couple weeks ago, you know. And she was from out of town, right? And guess what? She got what she came for. She got what she came for. She got the Holy Spirit poured out in her tremendously. And you know what? Sometimes it's just bringing somebody with you that has a need, or it's just encouraging somebody. And I mean, so many times, you know, we want to think way out yonder somewhere, and it's not always way out yonder. You know, Jim has a business to where he gets to sit down with people who are in need, that need jobs and stuff. He gets a chance to witness to them a lot about the Lord. You know, Mike probably plays golf with guys on once a week. Well, I'm sure once in a while the conversation might turn to the Lord a little bit, especially if one of them has a need, you know. We go down and do the radio show once a week a lot of times. We have people calling in, and, you know, a lot of times you think, well, is anybody out there even listening? And we had this one woman calling a couple of weeks ago, and she says, "I can't wait till Wednesday at this time." She says, I tell all my friends," and she said a whole bunch of stuff. Then she, "Mike, I tell all my friends they should tune in and listen and all this." You know, because we just basically get in there and we talk about the Lord and talk about the things God has shown us. And there's usually three or four of us in there. And, you know, but, I mean, whatever opportunities God opens up for you. And like I say, don't think that you have to be this or you have to be that. I'm going to tell you what, some of the first things that I ever did when I came into the church, and I knew God had his hand on my life, I mean, from the time I was a teenager, I knew he had his hand on my life, but I wasn't serving him, but I knew he had his hand on my life. But I'm going to tell you what, some of the first things I did in the church was, I'm not a very domestic guy. I'm not a cook. I don't cook, and I don't do that kind of stuff. Well, partially because they make fun of me when I cook, I'm not doing that anymore, you know, but, you know, one of the first few things we did one time, I don't know if it was Audrey or one of them came and said, Susan, I think was when Susan was getting married to Daryl, came and said years and years ago, said, "Would you guys serve at the wedding?" Well, we served, and I washed dishes or picked up stuff and, you know, did all that domestic stuff, which I don't normally do too much of. But you know what? Sometimes that's just it. If you're not willing to do the little things, God will never let you do the bigger things. And a lot of times we think, well, if I just sit back, one of these days God's going to really use me. Let him use you right now, where you are right now, in whatever situation you're in right now. And if it's just to be an encouragement, just to love somebody, fine. If it's to give them a word, give them a word, whatever, you know. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all I had to share with you today, and I'm not going to keep you a long time because I know that a lot of people have family things they want to do today. So if you all will stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. But, you know, remember that little story about the missionary. Just if you don't remember anything else I've said today, remember that story. He didn't teach them scripture. He didn't teach them songs. He didn't witness to them. All he did was just be there for them when they needed him. And you know what? When the other missionaries came and said, "We want to tell you about Jesus," Their reply was, well, he's been here for 20 years. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to help us all to be that good neighbor, to be that good friend, to be that minister in whatever situation and circumstance that you would call us into. And Father, we know that if we'll do the little things, then you'll let us do the greater things as things go on. But if we're not willing to do the little things, then Father, you know, it's one of those situations to where no telling if we'll ever do the greater things in that sense. You know, I approached a brother years ago about going down to the mission and speaking. And a lot of the people who speak in here today, a lot of it has to do with we used to go down to the mission. And I used to go around and ask people I felt like the Lord had me ask to go down there and share. And I tell you, you learned a lot down there because you were ministering to people that were really down and out and really they were in about as low a situation as they could get in. And I asked this one brother, and before I asked him, I felt like the Lord told me to ask him. I felt like the Lord said, he won't do it, but I want you to ask him anyway. And when I went and asked this guy, I said, would you speak down at the mission? Well, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm really called to do that. I feel like I'm called to teach a deeper truth and all this kind of stuff. You know what? Out of all the years I knew that brother, I never heard him teach a deeper truth. Because you know what? I think he was not willing to do the little stuff. And I don't think God ever really opened up a real opportunity for him to teach the deeper truth that he thought he could do. And, you know, I think the one of the greatest thrills I ever had when I went down there one time is, you know, I had a guy come up to me after I had spoke down there, and he says, you know, he says, I want to thank you. And I said, well, you're welcome. And he says, I said, why are you thanking me? He says, because I just want you to know, I come in here pretty often because we would feed people down there. He said, I come in here pretty often. And he said, I want you to know, he said, I understood everything you said. Everything you said. He said, I come in here and I hear people screaming and hollering and jumping around. And he said, I walk out and I think, what in the world did they even say? And he said, I understood everything you said. And I thank you for that. And you know what? That's what it's all about, folks. And then another time, I think Buzzy brought one of his friends down. And Buzzy come back and he told me, he says, I'm going to tell you, Oscar, he said, and I'm not saying this to puff me up in any way, but I'm puffing Jesus up. He said, my friend said to me, he said, when I listened to him speak, it was like listening to Jesus speak. And I thought, God, praise the Lord. Isn't that what it's about, folks? Listening to Jesus speak. That's what it's about in all of our lives. Let them see Jesus. You know, Jesus knew that his earthly ministry was coming to an end when the Greeks and them came and started saying, we would see Jesus. You know? And I'm going to tell you what, they're still saying that out there. We would see Jesus. And guess where they're going to see him? I reckon the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, his body. Praise God. Lord, thank you for your words. They are spirit and life. I ask you to bless your people, Father. Just let them have a wonderful weekend here at this time of celebration, even of things of the past, Father, and of this memorial. And let us begin to set up a memorial to you everywhere we go, that people would see those living stones that are stacked one upon another, Lord, that would build into a holy temple that would fill all the earth. Thank you for what you're going to do. We give you all praise. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. If anybody has a need, God bless you.